music in the studio after midnight, and we've got...
I'm looking forward to that, actually.
Yeah,
Nick Harper.
Yeah, Nick Harper. He's finished playing at the Fleece tonight in Bristol. He's on his way up with his tour manager. Some live music in the studio, a bit of a laugh as well, and also going to squeeze in a soul seller, Edwin Starr, in the last hour, too.
Yes.
It's good. We're enjoying it very much tonight. I hope you are too at home or in the car, wherever you are. Now, Sweens, Nick Harper, son of Roy Harper, is with us. He's just finished a gig at the Fleece, and he's coming in to play a couple of tunes for us because he's touring all over the region. I'll give you some dates in the next hour. And we also have the Soul Cellar with the Sweens, and that will be featuring the great music of Edwin Starr. So that is all to come, but now the time is midnight. Well, good evening, the last hour of the programme, and immediately we welcome into the studio, fresh from his gig at the Fleece in Bristol, Nick Harper. Very nice to have you here, Nick.
Brilliant to be here, Keith, thank you.
Nick is a man who was brought up surrounded by musicians, because his dad was Roy Harper, so it was nothing unusual for Nick to find his mum reading tarot cards for half of Led Zeppelin in the living room, was it?
It did happen, yes. weird things, really. Not great babysitters, I wouldn't say. not highly recommended.
I bet they weren't strict, though, were they?
Well, no. No, great for me, but I think social services probably had something to say about that sort of thing these days.
They read you any bedtime stories?
Not that I can remember. No, they probably soothed me to sleep some other way. Actually, the rumour is I used to lie on the floor as close to the speakers as I could. You remember those rock gigs where you saw some crazy idiot lying in the bass bin?
Mm.
That was probably what I was emulating.
Mm.
Or actually, I was the progenitor of that sort of behaviour, perhaps. I don't know.
But you've turned out well, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm fine, yes, thank you.
Would you like to play us a song and then we'll talk a bit more? Yeah,
okay. I'm going to play something which is it's newish.
Uh-huh.
Oh, don't go like that. It's called The Field of the Cloth of Gold.
Mm-hmm.
And it's inspired by, two things, really. One in the present and one in 1520. And I don't mean 20 past three.
No.
I mean 500 years ago.
Yeah.
When Henry VIII met Francis I of France, and they tried to outdo each other, spending cash on this fantastic tournament just outside Calais.
Yeah.
And there was so much ostentation, it was known as the Field of the Cloth of Gold. And as far as I can tell, it's a sort of taking the history of like music festivals, modern day music festivals, as far back as you can go. And that's where I think they started. My favourite one at the moment's the Beautiful Days Festival down in Devon that the Levellers run. And they've been jolly kind to me these last couple of years, keeping me off the streets and stuff. So it's a song I wrote for them, really.
Okay.
Well, I followed my father's baggage train to the field of the cloth of gold. I was trying to lend some honor to the family name on the field of the cloth of gold. Am I to be denied my rightful claim on the field of the cloth of gold? I rested across the valley with the vermin in the stable, about a million miles from the vermin in the stable, where the fat king laughs out loud amongst the sermon at his table on the field of the cloth of gold. Well, I popped out my chest and I took a look around the field of the cloth of gold. I covered up my crest, but I left my colors unbound on the field of the cloth of gold. You'd never have guessed the amount of mad fools I found on the field of the cloth of gold. There were minstrels and mountebanks and harpers and clowns cudgeling the air with a riot of a sound, and jousting to the death for a tiny patch of ground on the field of the cloth of gold. Second day begun, where I spent my coin and I had my fun on the field of the cloth of gold. We split a line of elms in the midday sun on the field of the cloth of gold.
Well, no one ever said we were there to get anything done on the field or the cloth of gold. I tried my parley with the ladies, so fine and so fair. There was something going on, but there was wine going spare. And in the end, I got blind drunk, and they yelled, "What the hell is he doing here on the field or the cloth of gold?" And the second day was done, with a thumping head, the third day begun. I was with the smiths and the squires from the English shires on the field of the cloth of gold. We were hoisting the goods tonight with their Archimedic wires on the field of the cloth of gold. He's such a heavy weight, it's not just a horse that tires on the field of the cloth of gold. I asked the king for his grace and his mercy, with a waft of his ring and cup of place, he turned and cursed me to a pretty French princess on rosy face and dainty courtesy on the field of the cloth of gold. And the third day was the last. The time flew by so fast. Framed up against a beautiful day's blue sky on the field of the cloth of gold. We must look pretty small from up there, you and I, on the field of the cloth of gold. So spare a thought for the goodly folk chained up by poverty, but king's fortune spent on tournaments can change the way you see. But on the whole, I know where I would rather be, on the field of the cloth of gold.
Great, thank you very much, Nick Harper, live on Access All Areas this evening, and having already done an hour and a half live on stage at the Fleece as well, Nick, that's very good going.
Well, I should be back in the box, really, by rights, but no, we poor John.
And a drive home after this as well.
Yes, the Sharabang will be setting forth.
Very shortly. That was from your ninth album, which comes out in June.
It does. June the 4th, apparently. Mind you, D-Day was set for June the 4th, too. And
right.
Heavy weather postponed it for a couple of days, so who knows?
Who knows? A couple of days here and there won't matter too much, will it?
No.
I think you got going with your recorded stuff when you met Glenn Tilbrook from Squeeze, didn't you?
Yeah, he sort of did get me out of the gutter. I'd spent a few years working for a wine merchant, and was a bit bedraggled, and I suddenly remembered that actually my real love of my life was the guitar, really, and writing songs.
Hmm.
And so I cleared my liver up and picked up the guitar and started doing acoustic clubs in London, and I was doing okay, and I had a mutual friend who knew Glenn and said, you know, you should see this guy, you know. And he came and saw me and asked me to play with Squeeze, but rang me up a couple of days later and said, you know, come and join my band. So I did.
That was good, wasn't it?
It was great fun, yeah.
Yeah, got you going nicely, didn't it?
Yeah, pretending to be a pop star for a year or so.
So did you have to play all the Squeeze songs then?
Yeah.
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 They wrote great songs, didn't they?
Oh, fantastic. Brilliant pop songs. Yeah. And some very moving stuff as well, some great stuff that they're probably not known for as well.
Mm.
I mean, Some Fantastic Place is one of my favourite songs. It's a wonderful song. Probably not known as much as Cool for Cats and Up the Junction and all those earlier hits, you know. And I suppose everything you hear, everything you do, everyone you meet becomes an influence, you know. So I guess I don't think most of my albums that I've done since would have turned out the way they had without Glenn's influence, really, which has been steered me into an area, you know, I might not have found myself in, which is great, you know. That's what's good about life, isn't it? You don't decide I'm going to go from A to B here. You think you are, and then it all goes.
And that goes another way, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you discover that as life goes on a bit, don't you?
Yeah, I guess so.
Was your dad any sort of an influence on you at all then, Nick, or not?
Absolutely.
Was he?
Yeah, very much so, yeah. I thought, right, that's what he does, I'm doing something else. No, he's, I'm a great fan of his. He's still my hero, you know.
You get on well together, because fathers and sons can sometimes have a difficult relationship.
Well, I guess, to be honest, he was away from home such a lot when I was a kid. Mm. The relationship we had, and he's a nutcase, really. And so when my role is sort of halfway between carer and brother, you know, and the sort of paternal relationship thing didn't really happen with us, so, which means that we have a really good relationship now, you know, and on stage, because I play gigs with him occasionally. I did quite a few tours with him a few years ago, but now we've sort of gone our separate ways on that front.
Mm.
I love playing his songs. You know, I just play a bit of lead to some of his songs, and he's written some real crackers. I mean, that's obviously influenced me. I mean, he made the ambulance wait that was taking my mum to hospital to have me, while he ran back in and got the guitar. And apparently, that's typical. And apparently, he was playing it as I arrived in the world. So, I mean, you know, the influence was from there. Well, actually,
yeah.
Probably before.
Tell us a bit more about the new album, Miracles for Beginners. Is that first song that you played there, Field of the Cloth of Gold, is that typical of the album, the feel of the album?
No.
Or? No?
No, that's a sort of... The Levellers have a sort of offshoot band called the Drunk in Public.
Yeah.
And they play that sort of raucous, folky type stuff, which I was trying to get the feel of there with that song. I tend to write... I write songs... They're the complete on their own. I don't usually have a theme in an album.
Right.
The song just goes on a journey wherever it's going to go when I'm writing it and recording it.
Mm-hmm.
And that one does stand out as being quite different. Actually, most of the others on this one are quite... it's much more acoustic-based than previous albums. And it's a bit lovey-dovey and soft and nice. And,
it's all right, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, the album before was called Treasure Island, which I'm trying to big up the people in England and Britain. Because I travel around the UK, I mm-hmm. should say, the people I meet are great. You know, I think the Brits are all right. I'm starting to sound like a politician, aren't I? this is the 200th anniversary of William Wilberforce's campaign to abolish slavery.
And yeah, we're doing a lot on it in Bristol. You won't be surprised to hear.
Of course.
Yeah.
Britain was the second country in the world to do that. And that sort of highlights the liberal tradition that we have got in this country. And I think people are basically good in this country, you know. There's a lot of good folks here. And the media, I mean, you know, try and make the worst of things all the time, you know.
Well, some of the press do, don't they?
I mean, it can be a scary place, and bad things do
happen. Yeah, absolutely.
But that's not the general way of things. So the last album was obviously the Iraq War, which is what Tony Blair will be remembered for. They can't still vote, can they?
No, it's all right. It's finished now. They're all closed.
Yeah, good.
Have been for 2.5 hours.
That I can't help but write songs about what I feel strongly about, and that was, you know, absolute. Absolutely. I mean, millions of people were marching against that, and it still went ahead. So, you know, we won't listen to blah, blah, blah. We all know that now. But this album was a reaction to that. I didn't want to have the wider world butting in on you know, the good feeling I've got. Because I'm up to all sorts of good things at the moment.
Well, would you play one more song for us before you go?
Sure.
I might say just before you do that Nick is in Worcester tomorrow night at Mars Bar. He's at Mr. Kipps in Poole on Sunday, that's the 6th. Then a bit later into June 15th, the Guildhall in Gloucester. 21st of June, Devizes Festival. And the 6th of July, Acoustic Plus in Froome.
Blimey, like a bad penny.
Oh, turning up everywhere. What are you going to play for us, Nick?
Can I just say one thing?
Yes, you can.
I've been asked by Mike Peters of The Alarm,
yes.
Who's a leukemia sufferer,
mm-hmm.
to... go up to Base Camp Mount Everest and do a gig. which is absolutely ludicrous as far as I'm concerned,
yeah.
but absolutely fantastic. But it's in support of the Love, Hope, Strength Foundation, which is something to look up on the web and maybe support if you're that way inclined.
Okay.
This has got nothing to do with that.
Right.
This is a lovey-dovey song from the new album.
I like a bit of lovey-dovey stuff.
Okay.
Makes it nice.
Why
great.
Not?
Yeah, yeah.
Why not?
I dreamt a dream of a girl I saw. Wanted to see her around some more. Beautiful, kind, and all adored. Easy to write a love song for. Blue sky, thinking. Blue sky, thinking. Let me dream. Windows and old wooden floors. Blue sky, thinking. With our children, 2 and 2 is 4. What's important to us now will be forevermore. Be the crazy boy, you be the sweetest girl. Together we will save the world. Blue sky, thank you. I write you the perfect song no one's ever heard that says I love you.
Thank you very much, Nick.
Thanks, Keith.
That's Nick Harper, and you can hear more from Nick if you go to Mars Bar in Worcester tomorrow night. I'll just run through those dates again. So it's Mars Bar in Worcester tomorrow. It's Mr. Kipps in Poole on Sunday, and then back into our area, Gloucester, Guildhall on the 15th of June, Divide's Festival 21st of June, and Froome Acoustic Plus on July 6th. And the new album with a bit of luck, is out in early June. Let's put it that way. Nick Harper, thank you very much indeed.
Great, thanks.
It's Access All Areas, 12:30 now on BBC Across the West with Keith Warmington. The Soul Cellar is next with the Sweens, and it's Edwin Starr. And here he is with 25 Miles.